When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Kinda Funny Patreon Pledge Drive month rolls on, and if you missed it, we put up two episodes from the 300 exclusives on patreon.com/kindafunny over the weekend on YouTube. Check them out, and if you like it, toss us $10 on patreon.com/kindafunny to get the other 298 plus pieces of content. Welcome back to another Kinda Funny screencast. This time we're talking about Twisted Metal Season 1 on Peacock. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and today I'm joined by two very special guests. I'm really excited about this because I have been excited for Twisted Metal for a long time. We started seeing some clips from it. Wasn't so sure if it was going a direction that I was interested in, but then the show came out and I started watching it, and then I started seeing people on Twitter talk about it, and some of those people included WWE's Kayla Braxton. Hello, Kayla.
Hi, how's it going?
Really, really good. Excited to have you here today alongside another person that I am a very big fan of. This is not the first time he's been on this show. He was here just a few weeks ago during GDC showing off his game El Paso Elsewhere that's coming September 26, 2023. We, of course, are talking about Zolivir Nelson.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. I'm also reeling from the fact that this is a very slight derail. So the creators of Twisted Metal 2 in particular went off and made another game in that same genre called Rogue Trip. This Twisted Metal meets Crazy Taxi and the entire soundtrack is ska.
Great.
And I started playing that last night, and I like talking to you, Tim. I like talking to you a lot, but I want to do that instead.
I
would like to go back to Rogue Trip.
I absolutely understand that. And then Kayla, you just came coming off SummerSlam with WWE. You had to hang out with Greg Miller. I apologize for that. How was that for you?
I love Greg Miller. SummerSlam, it was, yeah, fantastic. I feel like WWE always finds a way to like outdo themselves every time we have a different premium live event. So, but I'm tired, but I'm excited to talk about Twisted Metal.
And that's exactly what we're going to do today here on the Kinda Funny screencast. Of course, you could watch this show each and every week on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com. You could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to go above and beyond, patreon.com/kindafunny is where you want to go. If you did that, you can get the show ad-free. You get a whole bunch of bonus content, and also you could be a Patreon producer, just like Jedi Master Deadpool, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Logan Delaney, Nathan Lamothe, and Patrick Delgado have done. We appreciate all of you so very much. Because of your support on Patreon, you will not have to hear the ads for Shady Rays and Liquid IV that everyone else will hear later. But enough about that. Let's talk about Twisted Metal. Here's what I want to do. I want to go around the panel and ask you guys what your history with the franchise is. Then we'll go into a spoiler-free review, and then we'll start talking about spoilers and theories and other things of that sort. Zolivir, I want to start with you. What is your history with the Twisted Metal franchise?
I played the first Twisted Metal. I played the fourth Twisted Metal. Learned also recently, those are not by the same developer.
Oh, no.
Which explains a lot. I really appreciate the aesthetic of Twisted Metal and what it could represent, but I also understand it has deeply conflicting inherent problems that, and also entirely different interpretations of what it means to be a series, kind of like Saints Row, that make it really challenging to develop and also follow the thread of. So I really appreciate the series. I've liked what I've played, and also acknowledge the TV show. Before I even saw what they were going to do with it, I was like, wow, that sounds like it's gonna be a mess. And then I saw the first clips and I was like, that's definitely gonna be a mess. And then it wasn't. What a miracle.
And that's why we're here. Kayla, what about you? Do you have any history with this franchise?
No, I absolutely don't at all. But I think I can come from a place for like people who don't have history with the franchise or even video gaming. I like even with like The Last of Us, I love like, you know, the turning the video games into the TV shows. I personally started watching it because of my boy Samoa Joe, who I'm sure we'll talk about. So no history with it, but man, I freaking loved it.
So Samoa Joe, who plays at least the physical actor of Sweet Tooth in this, he was the reason that you watched this. There wasn't any other reason that you're like, I'm going to give this one a shot.
No, I just wanted to support him. And he blew me away. I loved it.
I love that. Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I am alone in this in a sense that I am actually a big Twisted Metal fan of the franchise. And I have been since I was a little kid. I've played every single iteration of the franchise, and including 3 and 4, which were made by different developers, including Small Brawl, which was one... Essentially, I did it all. But on the PS2 era, they did Twisted Metal Black. That was kind of a much more edgy, edgelord, dark take on like, what would a 13-year-old boy's dream video game be? And it was essentially that. And Small Brawl was them kind of backing off, being like, hey, let's make a kid's game. So instead of it being like a crazy car tournament, it was a RC car tournament, whereas like the characters were like just playing with little remote control cars, and it was a little more kid focused. And then as the franchise went on PS3, and it died there, like we haven't had an iteration since. But I've played all of them. Being a little kid, me and Kevin would rent the games like every weekend, and blowing up the Eiffel Tower in Twisted Metal 2, like we were all in. And having said that, no matter how in I was, I couldn't tell you much, right? Like the characters don't stand out. Some of the stories I can remember, like weird beats and stuff, but it's not like I was looking forward to this show in a way of like, if they mess this up, that they are ruining my childhood. It's like, no, them making a Twisted Metal show, I kind of knew going in, there's a couple things that they got to get right. Otherwise, just have fun with it and kind of like make the show worth bringing people in, unlike something like Last of Us, where there's expectations. We needed that to be as good as the game because we knew what the game had to offer.
There was a lot of anger stemmed off of that one. People are getting mad.
there's a lot every which way about that. But I feel like with Twisted Metal, it's kind of met by the majority of people with like an eye roll of like, why are they even doing this? So I feel like in a lot of ways that works against them because there's not an inherent audience of Twisted Metal fans that they can tap into that are at all topical. But I think that also serves as a great place for people like y'all that can just watch the show and be like, you know what? I kind of like that. So let's get into our thoughts on it. Kayla, I want to start with you. What did you think of the show?
Well, I went in, I downloaded it for like a plane ride because I'm on an airplane 24 hours a day, it feels like. I didn't really know if I was going to like watch the entire series. Again, I just wanted to get in, see Samoa Joe, see what this was about. And every episode is only like 30 minutes. And what is there, like 10 episodes? It's all bite size. I binged it in a day. Like I was hooked. I had to find out what happened. They were so good at like ending every episode with this cliffhanger where I wasn't going to be able to fall asleep if I didn't know how it picked up in the next episode. And I feel that way now, you know. That's not a spoiler. I need season 2 to happen now. But yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was really cool how they were able to play with, I think, all of my emotions. There's a certain episode that I actually maybe shed a tear. And so
from Twisted Metal, y'all.
I mean, I know, but from someone who's not an avid video gamer, it was very clear. They did a very good job of like, I could see the video game aspects in it. And I was picking like, even like with a lot of dialogue, things they were saying, I was hearing like, okay, I can hear this in a video. So I loved it.
It's all over here.
I had very low expectations going in, but I saw, I think, one tweet or zeet now, if we want to use one of those words, that where someone was saying that it was really good. It was actually really good. I had a Peacock trial. I figured I might as well try it. And much like Kayla, I ended up burning through most of it in a day or two at most because I had to see what happened next. The characters drew me in. Its treatment of Sweet Tooth, as well as its building out of an original universe to contextualize and give meaning to all of these things that I was familiar with from the games but didn't have deep attachment to, I was stunned. And it made me, again, seek out History of Twisted Metal. Go out. I'm going to go play Twisted Metal Black later. And I'm in playing Rogue Trip, which very few people know about or remember, but you should because it's great and the ska soundtrack is amazing. And all of that emerges from this series being good enough to draw me retroactively to care about all of these previously confusing, muddled elements from the games.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Going into this, I was like hopeful that it would be fun enough. And I think it succeeded in exceeding that. I am very surprised that on the kind of funny scale of 1 to 5, I feel like I'm between a 3 and a 4. But at the end of the day, because of the season finale, I'm going to go on with a 4 out of 5 on this one. Like, I had a really great time. I think that it all comes together in a way that it ended. And I'm like, I need season 2 now. Like, I am very, very excited for a season 2. And I'm shocked by that. I thought that this would be a 1 and done at best. But I feel like they just did a really good job of giving us characters that I was interested in. There wasn't a single side story that I was like, oh, I wish we'd move on from this. It all kind of felt like they did a great job of playing with the tropes you expect of a post-apocalyptic show, where you're always going to get the, like, the flashback episodes of like, okay, but how'd this character get here? And every time they did it in this, it added something that I'm like, wow, the thing that I didn't really love a couple episodes ago now makes a lot of sense for this character, and now I understand where we're building to it. And I think that as a big Twisted Metal fan, understanding that I am a fan of something that I played when I was 5 years old, and like really played the most from 5 to like 13, like they didn't even know what they were doing back then. Like, the inconsistencies of stories and characters and what games add up, and like, they just were like, let's just have fun. It wasn't so much a like, we need to think about character motivations or any of that stuff. So
what's the IP Bible?
Exactly. There wasn't any of that, right? But I feel like because of that, every 5 seconds there was something in this that felt familiar, even if I didn't explicitly know that it was. We'd see a car, we'd hear a name, we'd see a location, and I'm like, I don't explicitly remember that this is a reference to the games, but it feels like it is. And the amount of times I'm like, oh yeah, that car, that character, this whatever, or they'd start setting something up and I'm like, oh, I see where they're going with this, and then they deliver on it. Like, it just felt so satisfying that, like, I think that this show did as good of a job adapting Twisted Metal to a show as Last of Us did adapting Last of Us to a show. And like, that's pretty wild to me.
Especially with a series that did not have the same attachment or expectations or base material to work off of.
Yeah. And I think that it, you know, it's not a perfect show. I'm not comparing it to Last of Us in terms of like quality, but
compare it to Last of Us. Yeah. I liked it more than Last of Us. I liked it more than Last of Us. I think Last of Us is a great story with it has introduced an entire generation of people to believing that games are art. Like, that is a thing that The Last of Us has done for the games conversation. But Twisted Metal brings meaning out of comedy, out of something that could have been meaningless. Twisted Metal is as good or better of an adaptation and has me more excited for a season 2 than The Last of Us does.
That surprises me, but I'm
on the screencast.
I love it. Hey, that's a cool perspective to have for sure on this. And I think that in terms of the comedy, there's definitely a lot of it in the show. I don't know that all of it hits, but, and I feel like the first 3 episodes of this show are kind of jarring because you jump into it and it's like, what is this world? What are we really getting into? But I feel like once you kind of understand the rules it's playing by and like just kind of lean into what they're giving you, they really start to deliver. And I feel like the comedy starts to make a lot more sense within the world that they're in. And it starts feeling simultaneously funnier, but then also the humor comes from a place of like, yo, they're in a really bad situation here and they're just trying to make the most of it in a lot of ways. But let's move over to the spoiler side of things, all right? But before we do that, real quick, I want to take a word from our sponsors. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day 1, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life, from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We hear it kind of funny, swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KINDAFUNNY at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code KINDAFUNNY at liquidiv.com. All right, we're going full spoilers. Kayla, where do you want to go first?
I mean, I don't know. What do you want?
I feel like we got to talk about the end. What did you guys think of the last episode in particular?
After Kayla.
No, go ahead.
I need to see the return of Mr. Slam, first of all. This is the character we most care about, and his fate and how he's going to play into the proceedings.
So Mr. Slam, for people that didn't watch the show, is the character with the very large penis that he uses to slam and shatter a watermelon. But in the games, Mr. Slam is a character that enters the tournament in a tractor with like the big thing, and like his special is like slamming down.
Oh, that's an interesting little twist that I didn't know.
Yeah.
I guess they couldn't be putting a guy with a big penis in the video game like that, right?
I mean, they have Baldur's Gate, baby. But yeah, Zalavir, what else do you think of the finale?
I really, really hope there's a season 2, because I care about all these characters and they unveil how it's all connected. We see the dissatisfaction that our driver has with a mundane life, and we usually do get that in other stories. We've seen that trope before of they had a life of danger and the cozy life isn't for them. But realizing specifically why the cozy life isn't for him, what he isn't connecting to, again, the tropes that it brings out and then says we're going to make it feel like something meaningful within our world, I think that was really powerful. And yeah, we're gonna get Calypso and more things with Agent Stone, and all these people have been manipulated all along to be a part of a much larger structure. If we get a season 2, I hope to God we get a season 2.
I think there's a season 2. Well, earlier I mentioned like the episode that made me cry.
Yeah.
And the moment that made me cry, I was like, why am I crying at a car? Evelyn was such an important part of this entire series, and especially like, because I was getting really mad at John, you know, when he was kind of choosing, you know, at a certain point, like, why are you choosing the car? And I love that we got the backstory of why that car was so important, how that car was like basically humanized in his life and in the story and saving him. So when it was, and then when Evelyn, like the moment with the door over him, I'm like, oh, it's like Evelyn's arm, it was shielding. I just like started bawling my eyes out.
From a car.
Only this show can make me cry over a car. Like, I didn't cry when their humans were dying. And then and then of course you get introduced like his new baby, Roadkill.
Is
that from the game?
Yeah, from the game. So the John Doe character that Anthony Mackie plays in this, bit of a different backstory in the games, but yeah, in Twisted Metal Black, he drives the Roadkill car that is kind of like a car that's just made up of a bunch of scrap parts, which is what we see here.
And Roadkill in particular, and seeing like how John grows as a person from I'm being taken care of by this one car by my mom to I'm having meaningful communication with my partner to build a new life and this car that we share together. So good.
So good.
And I know. Then, and I'm like getting goosebumps now. So like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. And like, I feel like Quiet Story kind of perfectly weaving within that and becoming this partner could have been really corny and like poorly done. But I feel like there's something about it of like the introduction of her and her brother. So quiet and loud. It's like, all right, this is a trope. We've seen this before. Mm-hmm. I love that they immediately shatter it though. And they're just like, no. She talks a lot. Like she has so much personality and seeing her and John, the moment that they get to the ball pit and Jaquan's tipsy starts playing, and they have multiple sex scenes. I'm like, how are we here? And how is this good? How is this working? But it is.
I know. It all worked.
The hellscape of the Orange County. How did you, Kayla, feel about like when they revealed the backstory of what Quiet came from and the hellish, waspy compound they lived in?
That was like that like took out like a different emotion. Like I was just so sad, like just kind of watching that, because that was also something that just felt so potentially realistic in like this messed up world that we currently live in. But I did love just seeing how like she and Lau, just their like their backstory and just their constant like dedication, you know, to one another. Because in that first scene where we saw, like, you know, we weren't sure how their dynamic was, their love was, and then when he pops back up in her psyche and he's like being annoying in the back of her car, I'm like, well, did she really love him? And then yes, like, oh my god, they loved each other more than absolutely anything. And I'm really glad that we got to see so much more of him, even though he was not alive. The ears are on the neck.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is the show is just brutal. Like,
blood and sex and gore and big penises. This is what this show is about, guys.
Oh yes, and they went full tilt in that. But then also, like, I loved all the references to the games and how accurate they were to so many of the elements, like the missiles that would shoot out with like the pink smoke behind them. Like those are in the game are homing missiles. And like, there's a point at one, I think in the first episode, where he's driving and then he like does the invincibility cheat and he's like, oh, L1, R1 up, whatever. And it's like, that is the God mode cheat in Twisted Metal 1. So it's like, they had a lot of those type of on the nose references, but I feel like it felt like it was fair to be done that way in this world, because we talk a lot about The Last of Us, where it's interesting to think about Ellie growing up in a world, this post-apocalyptic world. What does it mean to be a kid that never knew the prior life, right? And I feel like this show does a good job of dropping us in and being like, yo, bad shit happened in the early 2000s. So everything's stuck in the late 90s, early 2000s. So all the music references are going to be time capsuled there. There's going to be Radio Shacks. There's going to be like all these things that a lot of people that are growing up in this new world have never even seen before. But having the John Doe character kind of be this adult that's also a kid because he had the accident that he had that we find out later, I think really did a service to the show for allowing us to kind of question the whole time, like, why are things the way they are? How are they? And that allows things like the OC situation to be as dark and scary as it is, because we are talking about a post-apocalyptic world where there is a new rule. There's these milkmen that have to deliver between these like abandoned towns that have created like new rulers. And we see it a lot in like Walking Dead with like the different compounds, but adding car combat to be everything in between the different compounds, I think is just the coolest idea ever.
Yeah. And even like with all that Neve Campbell, which love her going from victim to freaking villain in this. But I think that was one of the moments in the early on when she brought him inside and like pretended to have like this whole like family and showed him a baby. And when she was like, you've never seen a baby before, have you, John? He's like, no. That was when I was like, wait, why?
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, it made sense when you realize he didn't. And when he was looking at that picture of himself and he's like, who was that kid or whatever? But I did like how it made you stick around because you had to find out why in the world was this guy not conscious of all of this stuff that had happened.
Yeah, one thing about Neve Campbell's character, so she's Raven, who in the games, Raven has a best friend named Kelly, who some bullies end up bullying too hard and accidentally killing. And so her storyline is, so the overall storyline of Twisted Metal is there's this guy named Calypso that runs a tournament. And if you win the tournament, you get one wish and it's whatever you want in the world. And that wish comes true. So Raven's wish that she wants is to be able to bring her friend Kelly back from the dead. Because bullies killed her. And in this, there's in New San Francisco where Raven Neve Campbell's running, there's a bar called Kelly's. And in the final episode, we see her with this voodoo doll. And in the game, that's what the voodoo doll is, what Calypso.
I wish I'd known all of that.
That's what I'm here for.
I don't want to have a soft spot for her.
So, yeah, like the reason that she is trying to recruit Anthony Mackie is to find somebody to compete in this tournament that is directly hinted at the end of the season. Well, I loved the final episode because we got a hint at what an actual Twisted Metal tournament would be like, with all the cars kind of fighting on that, the big arena, and all the different moves being used, and like the death of Stone and all of that. But then we end it with actually Calypso being like, we're setting up this tournament. We get teased at a couple characters coming, and we see Neve Campbell's Raven be like, yes, like, I am trying to make Anthony Mackie win this for me so I can get my wish. So they're doing a really good job of like setting up the plot of the actual games that we would come to expect. And this season was kind of backstory to all of that.
Okay.
Can we talk about how good Samoa Joe was?
Yes, please.
Even the fact we weren't using his voice, you know, like I feel like that's got to be even more difficult as an actor to somehow be able to be this character and not be able to use your vocals. Holy cow. He was so good. Like, we all, I think, had this heartstrings pulled towards Sweet Tooth, even though he was tearing everybody apart.
Yeah.
In the middle of him tearing people apart, being like, oh, Sweet Tooth, heck yeah.
Big clap for me, yo.
I don't know what it says about the tone of this show that they literally show him kill a dog, and it's played off in a way that's supposed to be endearing to him and somehow is. It's some twisted shit, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. I always get furious when you kill dogs. Of course. And you're right. I did not think again about it.
Because they set him up like, Billy's an asshole. Billy's coming in here and taking all Sweet Tooth shine, man. But yeah, it's Samoa Joe did such a great job, I think, with the physicality of it, with Will Arnett's voice, which I don't have a problem with Will Arnett at all, but I feel like it was a bad call to have 80-yard voice over Sweet Tooth because it just fell off. It didn't work for me. But I feel like Samoa Joe did such a great job with acting out what's being said that I still believed the voice was coming from him.
Damn.
Which is hard to, because sometimes you see people with masks and they're kind of just like moving around and a voice is happening. He used his hands and his body in such a way that I believed what he was saying.
And you can see his experience in the ring with that, with like his eyes, everything was a tool. As I'm sure Kayla's about to reinforce.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. My computer was being weird. And it was, is it Stu? His
buddy Stu. And yeah, so Stu and Mike, so those two guys, they're also characters in the game. They drive a big monster truck that we didn't get to in this, but Stu was great. And I love him kind of being the moral compass of the show in a lot of ways, where it's like, he kind of like jumps from side to side, but is always just trying to survive and trying to get it right. And I feel like he did a good job with that.
He did. I know that I thought I'm glad it wasn't the last year we're going to see if Stu, when they left it out early on the show, I was like, we have to have more of him. So I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kayla, when Sweet Tooth made sure he got his best friend back?
So Sweet Tooth's best friend is this, the little, the paper bag, right? And in
second best friend, sorry.
Had a big role in the show.
Yeah, the paper bag thing is a reference to the original Twisted Metal game, actually, where, so Twisted Metal 1 and 2 were on the original PlayStation, and they were very kind of like 90s cartoon vibe. And then Twisted Metal Black on PlayStation 2 was like, let's make this mature, super dark. It takes place in an asylum. Like, it's very, very, very edgy. And since then, Twisted Metal's kind of been that way. And this show, I think, did a good job of like meeting in the middle a little bit, where it's like dark, but it's never like try hard edgy. And if it is, it's done as a joke. And it is very cartoony at the same time. But in Twisted Metal 1, Sweet Tooth's wish was to be with his best friend, which was this paper bag. And at the end of it, he gets this paper bag, and it's stupid and ridiculous and very cartoony. So I love that they brought that into this, and I did not expect that at all.
Okay. Getting all this backstory is really, I'm going to watch it all over again now that I have all this other information. Loved him. Love Granny. That's how I want to go. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. When it's my time, put me in a car, roll me out of an 18-wheeler and blow me up. That was epic.
It was epic. And also another moment that was like weirdly heartfelt. Like,
it was
so weird. Like, the fact that they showed these like giant trucks that would drive next to each other and people could jump from truck to truck, and there's almost like cities within the trucks that all have different functions. I'm like, this is really cool, man. The people that made the show cared about making this make as much sense as possible and not just being like a bunch of references. They're there too, but I feel like it all came back to like a heart of caring, so that when Granny dies that way, you're like, oh man, I feel for the people around her, that I feel this loss.
You're right. Maybe you like realize, like, because in a world like that, you wouldn't think that there would be like a lot of love and affection, and like even with Quiet getting a free finger, you know, that was like a really sweet little moment. I'm like, wow, that she's like, I can't pay you. It wasn't that kind of, you know, love them.
Yeah,
they're nice people. I feel like I roll with on a daily basis.
and then
I love that they didn't fridge the. Sorry, I was just gonna say last thing about love. They didn't fridge the queer couple. I was so afraid that would happen.
Love that. Gosh, I love our botanist. She was Amber. Was that her name?
Yes.
Yes, I freaking loved that. Their storyline like just made me so happy.
Yeah, so she's a character from the games too, named Flower Power, and she's just like a political activist that's trying to stop the tournament from happening because it's ruining nature. And her car is like a 60s Volkswagen Beetle, which we see. She doesn't drive it in this season, but like we do see it at her little house. But I love that stuff. Like every single character, every named character in the show is from one of the games. And like, even if they didn't have too much to, literally like all of them, like it's, or at least they're like a take on some version of the games. Cause every game, the cars are the characters more than the drivers are. So it'd be like the car would be Outlaw, but then Agent Stone in one game drove it. Agent Jack in the next game, Agent Mark in the next game. Like the car is what matters more because the people keep dying. Unless you're Supernatural, like Sweet Tooth, who would keep coming back. So that's why like, all these characters we meet at the different compounds are references to different iterations throughout the games, which I think is cool because to your point about Twisted Metal 3 and 4 not being from the same developers, they didn't care. Like there's so much 3 and 4 reference. Like Granny is a character that's only in Twisted Metal 3, I want to say. So it's like they showed equal love across the entire franchise, which I think was a wise call because nobody really gives a shit that much. So it's like, let's just kind of start off and make a new lore, new canon that people can jump on. And I think that, you know, you were saying that this got you, you want to play Twisted Metal Black. I feel like this is like the perfect show to be, get people interested for when a new Twisted Metal game does inevitably come out. People are going to be excited for it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm stoked on that. I love
Twisted Metal game set in this world. Like even just playing as a milkman, right? Like, it's built to be turned into a back into a game again. The great snake eats itself.
Yep. No, you're so right.
In VR, or is that what those are? Is
that'd this be like wild. I don't know that we need VR crazy, Twisted Metal. That'd be bad. That'd be all bad.
I want it.
That's so funny. So I loved, again, the last episode, having the big action scene, I thought was so great. They did a really good job of showing off all the characters, and I feel like the characters that died made sense, the characters that didn't made sense as well. But the big tease at the end of Calypso with the tournament, we get a couple pictures of characters we've already seen in the show, like Twister, the F1 racer, which was awesome. But we see a couple pictures of characters that weren't in this season that are kind of like the biggest core characters that aren't Sweet Tooth in the franchise. One of them being Mr. Grimm, who's a motorcycle rider with like a skeleton face. Like we see the motorcycle helmet and it had like skeleton paint on it. We just see one picture of it. And then we see a picture of this guy, Axel, who's literally just a human who holds giant wheels. And I don't know how they're going to translate this to live action, but the fact that they're committing, they're like, we're doing it. I'm like, I respect the hell out of that. And I feel like that's the type of shit where I'm like, all right, cool. Season 2 has to happen because we need to see that.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
I'm trying to think of, Dollface was another big kind of reveal towards the end that John has a sister who has this whole gang of people with the Dollface stuff. Did you guys think that was cool?
Yes, 100%. That's going to open up a whole other realm.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just going to produce the scariest cosplays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dollface has always been creepy.
Like, I've already, that literally doll face, I was like, I'm putting this on my list of Halloween costumes.
Yeah, this is Axel.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's just a dude, a shirtless dude with holding on to some wheels. So, how are they going to translate that to live action? I do not know. I'm trying to think. I've made a bunch of notes of just like other references I wanted to call out. The RC cars, I was saying Twist Metal Small Brawl. We actually see in one of the flashbacks, there's kids when Agent Stone is like a mall cop and he's like talking to the trying to stop kids from like being nuisances. They're actually playing with the remote control cars and like being menaces, which I thought was super fun. And then there's also a reference at some point when they're building Roadkill. She's like, we got to care about the stats. We got to care about how we balancing the weapons, armor, speed, and handling. And like, those are the four stats that every car has in the game. And I love how they applied the game logic to this world. And it worked so well. I'm very impressed with the writing of this, man. Like, they made something that should have been incredibly corny, the right type of corny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take you guys' time up too much. Do you have any final thoughts on Twisted Metal, Kayla?
From someone who is not a gamer, doesn't know any backstory, if you're watching this, you're not sure, I promise you will not be disappointed. And it will only open up your like brain to want to maybe dive into a little video gaming. So I give it 2 thumbs up. Absolutely loved it. And I need a season 2 yesterday.
Zalavir, what about you?
Same here. I want to watch season 2 of this. I want to play a game set in this world that brings really what Twisted Metal is all the way together. I'm in. I'm all in on Twisted Metal.
I'm right there with you. I really hope the game is as good as this. I think it can be, and I love your idea of playing as a milkman, doing the deliveries and stuff. That is
VR.
Very, very VR. Still a little shaky on, but maybe for Kayla, let's get a VR mode there. Anyways,
you can get your own homemade VR mode of Twisted Metal by putting on a car crash on a VR headset and then doing the exact same thing that Sweet Tooth does in one of the last episodes and sprinkling a little bit of lighter fluid on there.
Would not recommend that. Not recommend that.
Kind of funny approved. Become Sweet Tooth.
Zalavir, where can people find you and where can people get your game?
At Strange Scaffold on Twitter, also known as X, on TikTok, on Instagram. I'm at Rit Nelson on those platforms as well, WRIT Nelson. And you can find our games on Xbox, Nintendo Switch, and PC.
Hell yeah. Kayla, where can people find you?
Kayla Brax on WWE everywhere. So anywhere the wrestlers are, I'll be close behind.
Y'all love to see it. Thank you guys for joining me for this. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about Twisted Metal, or if we sold you on checking it out. I think a lot of you guys will like it. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.